welcome to Island Ice episode 183. As we start to count down towards the end of the season, the Islanders, after a 5-2 loss to the Rangers here at Madison Square Garden on St. Patrick's Day, have only 15 regular season games remaining, and it is very much in question where they go with the rest of the season. They have now dropped 4 straight, 0-3-1. Hi, I am your gloom and doom host, Andrew Gross of Newsday. And, you know, when I'm walking in the arenas or I am walking on the streets and people are very nice. They stop. They say very nice things about this podcast. And the one thing I hear most of all is, you know, we really like it when Colin is on the podcast. So I'm happy to say this is a good podcast. We got Colin Stevenson, my good friend, and we're going to chat briefly, and then we're going to get Colin to bed because, Colin, what time did you wake up this morning?
Oh, I had a 5 a.m. wake-up call. I had a 5:30 car and a 7:15 flight, and it's been a long day.
A long day, long week, you were telling me. Colin's not going to toot his horn about how tough travel can be, but let's just say to get from Tampa to Pittsburgh, there was a side trip to Miami and then a side trip to Philadelphia that was not planned.
Three planes in one day is enough.
And, let's see if I can tie that in. Look, the Rangers were the better team today. Yes. They're in first place in the division. The Islanders had a season-high 6-game winning streak, and it seemed like they had stabilized. They were going to figure out a way either to overtake the Flyers for third place, a guaranteed spot in the Metro, or beat out the slumping Red Wings, possibly, for the second wild card spot in... Maybe just meet the Rangers in the first round. But based on what you saw today, did you see a playoff team out there?
On the face of what we saw today, no. I would say probably not. But those other teams that you mentioned are not any better, I don't think. Like, Philadelphia is not... I mean, we've been waiting for them to fall out. They've been holding on to that spot the whole season long, so they keep proving us wrong. But they've got a really, really tough schedule coming up. So I don't know what they're going to be able to do. And Detroit is, you know, you mentioned them. They seem to be losing a lot of games, too. And so that's the one thing that if you're an Islander fan, you can kind of look to. You need to be following that out-of-town scoreboard, see what those two teams are doing in particular. And then there's other teams too, right? I mean, the Devils would like to think that they can get in, and Washington, I think, is trying to hang around. Pittsburgh claims to still be in the race. The Islanders are ahead of those guys. So the ones you got to look at are Philadelphia and Detroit.
And actually the Sabres too. I mean,
and the Sabres, yeah.
Right? The Islanders go to Buffalo and lose 4-0, right?
Yeah.
So, I agree with you. None of the teams you can list. I think there are probably 7 teams in the Eastern Conference, if you include the Lightning, that are legit playoff teams. And then you got this bunch of teams that we've mentioned, that you've mentioned, including the Islanders, that one of them is going to get into the playoffs, and it may come down to the last game as they play hot potato on who really wants the berth.
Who wants it? Well, you know, so the interesting thing is, on the Rangers' recent road trip, which was 3 games through Carolina, Tampa, and Pittsburgh before today, I was talking with some of the other beat writers, and we were discussing before the Tampa game, you know, which the Rangers ended up losing, who was going to be the toughest potential first round opponent for the Rangers, and we all discounted Philadelphia and we all discounted Detroit, but there was a difference of opinion where a couple people felt like Tampa was going to be, you know, Tampa, you don't want to play Tampa. And my thinking always was, well, I don't want to play the Islanders either, because I do believe at this point that Ilya Sorokin's a better goaltender than Andrei Vasilevsky, only because Vasilevsky, really, his numbers aren't good. He hasn't had a great year. He's coming out back surgery. And he's playing, and, you know, he can get better at any time. But for right now, I like Sorokin better. And the rivalry thing. You never know how the rivalry is going to affect that kind of a series. So, I mean, like, you know, in talking to Dave Maloney, who was the Rangers' color man, like, you know, he played for the Rangers in so many of these games against the Islanders, and you know he really has respect for that rivalry thing. So you never know that how that affects what happens on the ice. And so for me, the Islanders were always the most dangerous first round opponent possible. But you know, based on what we saw today, no, it's hard to make that argument after today.
Well, the Rangers just, and it was right from the opening faceoff, right? The Rangers spent probably the first two and a half minutes of the game just pressuring.
Yeah.
The shots were 4-5-0 before the Islanders got anything deep and on Igor Shesterkin, and it never resolved itself. Even though it was 2-2 in the second period, the Rangers were dictating the pace of play. They were dictating the physicality, I thought.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is, like, the Rangers have played in this recent stretch, they've played against some teams that are in similar spots as the Islanders in terms of desperation, right? The Islanders are desperate to get in, and they should be playing desperate hockey. You know, but the Rangers have played the Devils, who are trying to get in. They've played, you know, Tampa Bay, which wants to make itself, you know. And so I would have expected to see more desperation from the Islanders, and you know, both teams were playing in the second game day of a back to back, but the Rangers were playing their fifth game in 7 days, and their legs should have been more dead than the Islanders' legs, and that you wouldn't have been able to tell that from those first few minutes, as you said. I mean, and nevertheless, the Islanders did score the first goal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they did have a 1-0 lead coming out of the first period, so and they couldn't hold on to it.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of felt like, you know, when are the Rangers going to score a goal, right? Even though it was 1-0, and it was only 27 seconds, I think, into the second period. But you mentioned the Rangers playing 5-7. The Islanders played at home yesterday. They, you know, a 4-3 overtime loss to the Senators. That one was a 12:30 faceoff. The Islanders get on the bus into Manhattan. They were probably in their hotel rooms by 5 p.m. last night. The Rangers did play in Pittsburgh. It was
short
flight. They were home too.
Yeah,
you know, easy enough. So,
but they had a 3 o'clock start too. So they, you know, it was a little bit later.
Yeah, but the point is, I think you're correct. There was no excuse for the Rangers to have so much more life.
No.
And it was, Patrick Waugh, and he's not calling out his team, right? But after the 4-3 loss to the Senators, he sort of said, you know, we were too pretty offensively. We didn't play well enough. It's not good enough. And then he listed all the defensive mistakes he made, and he said, we know we've got to be better. This was less than 24 hours ago. And then they come out here today at the Garden, and it was sort of defensively, the disconnect is you don't need to be a hockey scout to go, wow, these guys, they're not trusting each other on the ice. They're not communicating well enough on the ice. And the Rangers had all the time and space they needed in the offensive zone far too often. And when Patrick Waugh says after the game, you know, they just had more energy than us for some reason. It's just, you know, you hear comments like that and you go, where is this going for this team if they can't get up for this type of thing?
Yeah, not only that, too. I mean, you haven't even mentioned the fact the Rangers lost a defenseman, too. So
they
finished the game with five defensemen because Ryan Lindgren got hurt late in the second period. So they played the last 24 minutes of the game with just five defensemen. So, and it was a 3-2 game at that point. And then the Islanders had a power play at the end, and they got one shot on goal.
Yeah.
So they had power play with 2:15 left in that period, one shot on goal. So, I mean, you know, you're not taking advantage of your opportunities. I wouldn't be surprised if they get in. I mean, I still believe that they have, you know, a team that's good enough to get in based on who they're in the race with. But then you wonder, you know, where are they going from there if they do get in?
Right. And that's back to the beginning. That'll all be matchups. But look, it doesn't get any easier for the Islanders. You know, it was tough game against the Rangers today. They have still two more games against the Rangers, one at UBS, one back here at the Garden. They go to Tampa, so one more game against the Lightning. They have one more game against the Flyers in Philly, and that's another, you know, that's a Florida Tampa, Philadelphia road trip.
Carolina coming up at some point.
We got they face the Carolina Hurricanes on Tuesday at UBS. The Winnipeg Jets are coming in. Yeah, it's just
some tough teams.
Yeah, the Islanders. What really concerned me, and the way I wrote it was, so they get to the third period. It's still 3-2.
Yeah.
You know, they have a chance. They need this desperate push in the third period. There was none. It was like they were in fourth gear and they couldn't shift to fifth gear.
Right.
Right. They just never got out of fourth gear. And the Rangers, bing, early goal.
Yeah.
And then they add another one. And there was no drama. There was no suspense the last 10 minutes of this game as to whether the Islanders were going to be able to do to the Rangers what the Rangers did to them in the Stadium Series.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, when you watch a team every game, right, you tend to be familiar with their flaws. Like, you know everything that's wrong with the Islanders. And I know what's wrong with the Rangers. The Rangers, you know, they're weak at this, they're weak at that. And yet they have 45 wins.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they find ways to win. And that's a thing. That's a good thing. I mean, I think the Islanders find ways to lose. And that's not a good thing.
No, I mean, the 4-3 loss to the Senators in overtime. So now that's 15 losses past regulation. You just win half of those, you're in third place in the Metro, and you're not worried about a playoff spot at all, right? I mean, you know, you can play this horseshoes game, you know, all the time. But they're very bad in overtime. They're very bad on the second game of back-to-backs. You know, Patrick Waugh mentioned it after the game. I just counted it up again. It's 0-5-3 in the second game of a back-to-back. And that used to be their bread and butter. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to compare Barry Trotz to Patrick Waugh here. But when Barry was coaching here, his first couple of seasons, that was like a lockdown win when they played in the second game. They would just wear down the opponents. And now this is probably the bigger picture of this is a team that keeps getting a year older. Yes. And we keep talking about them getting a year older. And they're an older team, and you can talk all you want about Noah Dobson being young and Alexander Romanov being young and Ilya Sorokin being in his prime. You got a lot of guys on this team who have been here a very, very long time, and they're in their 30s.
Yeah, and probably too many, I guess. And I don't know, and they're all... You know, like, a couple of guys may not be back, right? I mean, like, guys are in their last year of contract. Matt Martin, I don't know.
Cal Clutterbuck, yeah.
Those guys. They may not be here next year. You know, maybe if you could have moved on from them this year, you know, get a younger guy in there, you know, that might have served them well. But, you know, it is what it is at this point. And I think at this point, if you're the Islanders, all you can do is just turn the page, man, and try and beat Carolina.
Well, you've seen Carolina recently. What was that? Was a 1-0 Rangers?
1-0 game, yeah.
Right. I mean, and everyone's familiar with Carolina. The Rangers, the Islanders have played them in the playoffs, and
they never change.
They never change. Rod Brind'Amour, very good coach. They do get Freddie Anderson back, right?
Yeah.
Did was Anderson?
No. We saw Kochetko.
Okay. What does that do, do you think, for the...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they do have Jake Guentzel.
Yeah.
And they do have Kuznetsov, you know, who they picked up at the trade deadline. So
that's like a positive and a negative.
Well, you know, Kuznetsov was very good against the Rangers this week, or this last week, I guess. So it remains to be seen. And they play together. So, you know, it remains to be seen what the impact is going to be of those two players down the stretch here. And Freddie Anderson, I don't know. I mean, I saw his first game. Just happened to be, you know, off that night looking for something to watch, and it was there, and watched it. And, you know, he was struggling. I was hoping to see him against the Rangers, and he didn't play. So I don't know what they're going to get out of him. And that's always the question with Carolina, right? What are they going to get out of their goalie? But in front of the goalie, they've got a pretty good team and a good system and a great coach, and so, you know, that's not going to be an easy game for the Islanders on Tuesday.
No, it really is. The Islanders, you know, they were doing so well. Everything seems, you know, rosy during a six game winning streak. But if you look at the numbers, they were creating. There was a lot more offensive zone possession time
against some bad teams.
The Sharks and the Ducks could be the worst 1-2. Yeah. You know, don't get too excited with a 7-2, 6-1 back to back against them, right?
Well, you did beat Boston.
Boston was a good win. They beat Dallas in Dallas. Yeah. That was a good win.
So they had some good teams. It's not like they were all bad teams.
No, 100% no. They were playing good hockey. They were possessing the puck in the offensive zone. They were creating shots. And now it seems like the last 2-3 games, I know, what was it, against the Senators, I think they had 11 shots through the first two periods. I'm looking at the stat sheet right now. 7 first period shots.
Yeah, not good.
Possession time was really, really bad.
Yeah.
And
they changed up the lines, too. Like, I mean, what did you think of the lines? What did you think of Barzal with Pageau and Palmieri with...
Well, obviously, Palmieri was better with Horvat and Nelson because they generated goals, right? Yeah, and look, if you're going to credit Patrick Roy for something... He's got something with Brock Nelson and Bo Horvat playing together. Right. I mean, those and you talk about natural centers playing together. Maybe that was one of the reasons to move Barzal to the other line. So you have two natural centers and two on the second line with Barzal and Pageau instead of three across the top.
Right.
But Nelson and Horvat have a connection. And that goal, that shorthanded goal.
That was pretty.
Oh, my God. Brock Nelson did not look. He just whipped the puck across the ice from sort of just outside the right corner. He comes around, and Bo Horvat is low in the left circle. Whipped that pass. Bo Horvat had a million acres to shoot
at. Yeah, he was pretty wide open. So, you know, I mean, so, again, you can't write him off yet. I mean, you have to play the schedule, right? I mean, yeah it's tough. But it should be tough.
Yeah. By the way, you had the privilege of seeing maybe the most... Pierre Engvall has had an up-and-down season.
Yeah.
Right? That play of his in the first period where the puck is coming towards him. It was a great pass. It was a blade-to-blade pass. Engvall's going to have a chance down low in the right... And the puck literally breaks his stick as it arrives. Pierre is staring at a broken stick, doesn't know what to do.
And so he holds a guy.
He held Ryan Lindgren. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't their day.
No.
You know, but there are other days. And what are they? I don't know what the numbers are, but I just know that, hey, listen, man, just get in and see what happens.
Right. No, and look, and we've talked about this, if they can just get in, I still think their path to the playoffs is going to be beating out the Flyers, get that guaranteed spot in the division because the wild card spot is
I think Tampa's going to win that.
Tampa's got
so
one,
then, you know.
And I still like, I know they went through a bad streak. Six-game losing streak. I still believe in the Red Wings.
Okay.
I like the personnel they have on that team. You know, maybe the goaltending isn't all world, but you know, again, it's a mediocre crop of teams getting in. So if they do get into that third place position, I think the Rangers, based on what I'm seeing, they're going to have enough to hold on to first place, I would think, right? So now Tuesday's game against the Carolina Hurricanes very much becomes a
potential playoff preview, yes.
Yeah, we love those words.
love those.
Yeah, but all we know is the Islanders have to start collecting points no matter how they can do it.
Because and 2 points, preferably.
Two
not
points.
1 point.
No, 1 point's not going to do it because you know all these other teams are going to play you know, these three-point games, right? They're all playing three-point games. All these games are going overtime. So you got to get the two.
Yeah. And, you know, so here's the thing. Here's what I would say. They've had a problem, the Islanders, holding leads, right? So you got to figure out how to lock it down. Like, you know, what the Rangers did today, they're up 3-2, and they, you know, they were locking it down. I mean, they get the 4-2 goal, you know, Kakko's in. And by the way, that's a goal that can't happen.
No.
I mean, you know, they're possessing the puck, the Islanders, you know, their third line is possessing the puck in the offensive zone. Kakko's doing whatever he wants behind the net, holding the boards. The puck works around the boards. You know, Erik Gustafsson holds it on the boards, and nobody can take the puck away from Erik Gustafsson until Kakko comes in. He leaves the puck. Kakko takes the puck, walks to the net. Nobody is between Kakko and the net. Goal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things wrong on that play. It just should not have happened if you're the Islanders. So they have to clean that up. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, the Rangers do get that goal, and then they just lock it down. And the Islanders apparently have trouble locking leads down when they get them.
Yeah.
And then the other thing they have a problem is win some games in overtime, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know, geez. Like,
yeah.
You know.
That's what they're there for.
I think the Rangers are 7-1 in overtime.
And it's crazy because the Islanders go into a 3-on-3 overtime period.
With Barzal. With
Barzal, Horvat, and Brock Nelson. Noah Dobson. And you got Ilya Sorokin.
In the goal. Yeah.
Or Varlamov in net. On paper, you would take that, right?
Yeah.
And they can't figure it out. And it's – anyway, you know, and it, just speaking of Sorokin, last thing here, obviously there were a couple of goals where, you know, it looked like Sorokin had a good look at the puck. I know one was tipped right through his pads. So Patrick Roy was asked about Sorokin's game after the game, and he said, I thought it was good. And he almost said something like, but what are you going to do in front of that defense? I mean, I know what he was thinking as a goalie, and he stopped himself, and he didn't say it. But I saw the thought bubble there.
Yeah, no, the Kakko goal, the one that sticks out to me is like, you know, how does this guy just walk to the net like that? You just can't happen.
I saw Islander defensemen and defenders just standing there and looking at the other guy almost like, you have him? I got him? Who's got him? The confusion was, I mean, it was, it really was like the beginning of the season when the Islanders were having trouble before the coaching change and everything. But anyway, listen, we're going to get Colin out of Manhattan and off to his very comfortable home where he's going to relax before leaving. Colin got today right. Green tie, green shirt, green shamrock hat. Whereas yours truly absolutely fumbled the ball.
What are you doing?
All blue.
What are you doing?
Just forgot. My bad.
Happy St. Patrick's
Day. Yeah, you too, my friend. Aaron Gopra. That is it for this episode of Island Ice Newsday's New York Islanders podcast. If you want to read any of Colin or my fine articles, you go to newsday.com/sports. Until the next time, happy hockey, everybody.